Public Broadcasting Network.
So let's talk about sterilization, and let's talk about eugenics, and let's go down this kind of tributary. Ken, clip three.
Shot. So Activist Post has a very disturbing article. A mother has been sterilized as court hands down an order recommending it. That's a very sticky wicket we have here. At the request of an Oklahoma court, it says a mother of seven has been sterilized as part of a judge's order, setting a damning precedent in the process. Summer Creel, 34, had the procedure in November after the judge wrote he could consider it at her sentencing if she chose to do so. Although the procedure was voluntary, in quotation marks, the court order to do so crosses some ominous barriers. In spite of the fact that it is described as voluntary, it stretches the definition of the term by putting Creel in the position of bartering her fertility for leniency in her sentencing. Now, last year, this practice gained national attention when it was applied to prisoners in exchange for undergoing a sterilization procedure. Prisoners were given a shorter sentence, and the ACLU pointed out this that this program is deceptive, and it's really unconstitutional. I mean, offering a so-called choice between jail time and coerced contraception or sterilization is totally and completely out of line. Now, Hedy Weinberg of the ACLU said this: such a choice violates the fundamental constitutional right to reproductive autonomy and bodily integrity by interfering with the intimate decision of whether, when to have a child, imposing an intrusive medical procedure on individuals who are not in a position to reject it under duress. Now, the argument's going to be that Creel's no model citizen. She's a repeat check forger. Sure, she has an addiction to methamphetamine that's so severe that she admitted to using the drug while she was pregnant. But you bring the issue of sterilization as a factor in Creel's sentencing, and that crosses a line. That crosses a line reminiscent of the eugenics program of the early 20th century. Now, I can tell you that the eugenics program is what Agenda 21 is spawned from. That is basically the Rockefeller Foundation's baby. You know, that is the powers that shouldn't be. That was their idea. That is what Hitler used as criteria.
All right, to stop go it about- there. So this is a perfect test example, a test case, a exhibit A of alternative media not being able to think logically. Okay. Here's the problem. You know, Joe over here at Jaylee Sheeple, he does, you know, he throws Hitler in here and he throws the eugenics programs of the early 20th century and so forth and so on. Well, guess what? They had some things right here, and none of us have the balls now that are in alternative media to say, you know what, our cities are destroyed. They're overran by filth, by people that should have never been born, most pretty much, because it's just basically bastards and children completely out of fornication, the whole damn thing. Now you have these people doing the carjackings, the robberies, the forgeries, the massive numbers of crime. Look, I'm not this big brother Orwellian, but at the same time, I can look at the other side of the coin and say, look, you know, this female he's talking about with seven kids, hooked on speed, the whole nine yards. The problem is in this society, which they've pushed on us, this collectivized society they've pushed at us, okay, they want to let the most undesirable elements keep breeding our own, basically, people that are going to keep killing our grandma, our mom, our sister, raping them, carjacking our brothers and our uncles and everything else. And so this is cognitive dissonance thrown at us at 100 miles an hour. So the alternative media types, like the guy doing the article here, Alex Jones, the rest of them, they're against the Margaret Sanger, Rockefeller, eugenics model, blah, 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 to the point where they say it's black genocide. No, it's not black genocide. These people breed faster than the abortion industry can kill them. It's just the way it is. And our cities, Detroit, Chi-Town, Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore, on down the line, they've turned into basically little Mogadishus in certain neighborhoods. And you're talking to me about you're encroaching on somebody's sovereign right of reproduction when these are the people that are going to jump right on the dole. Section 8, HUD, housing, EBT, SNAP cards, the whole nine yards, generation after generation. Look, I don't like the thought of government regulating breeding patterns of human beings, of Homo sapiens sapiens. But at the same time, I am a pragmatist. I am a logical thinker. And I realize that some people, some genotypes, some IQ profiles cannot self-govern. Okay? So if you're going to have a system where the state doles out goodies, that state has the same right to say, look, I personally know of an individual, a man in his 30s that have 16 kids by 16 different women. I personally know of an individual. Are you going to tell me that the government of a country does not have the right to curtail this individual's breeding habits? Are you going to tell me that? Somebody call in 1-800-313-9443. You tell me that a society, whatever one you want, doesn't have the wherewithal to at least have this person put their name on the dotted line and say that I'm not going to try to collect off the dole for my 17th kid. Look, it's this conundrum. There's no right answer. But what I'm saying is, there's a Harvey Danger song from the 90s, and it says, been around the world and found that only stupid people are breeding. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I see a lot of this. I see the point that it's just like people are already don't have a pot to piss in, but yet they're the ones having, children. And guess what? Who do they look for to be the provider of these children? This is all I'm saying. Anybody want to call in? Call into the program. Let's argue it out, because I don't know the right answer, but what I know is what we're dealing with right now is insanity. Okay? Now let's move on to immigration. All the left-wingers. Oh, I love the environment, but let's bring in every swinging you-know-what into our country because they're refugees. Refugees are welcome, but I care about the environment. Let's, Ken, get clip 15 ready. This is James Alsup, a good YouTuber kid, youngster. Let's roll 15.
Immigration is obviously one of the most contentious issues in contemporary American politics. It is the issue where, according to public polling, the opinion of the majority is the furthest away from the opinions expressed and fought for by our elected officials. According to recent polling, the vast majority of American voters want to see drastic cuts in immigration. According to a recent poll from Harvard University, more than 90% of Americans want to see immigration to the U.S. either severely limited or eliminated, compared with only 12% of Americans that want to see more immigration. Despite these numbers, the media acts as if these numbers are reversed. Turn on any cable news and you'll see pundits discussing immigration as if it's a foregone conclusion and acting like U.S. government policy should be shaped around what is beneficial to foreigners and corporations, not American people. It's not very often you get to hear an honest discussion between people that want more immigration and those that want less immigration. It's unfortunate, but the left has a habit of dismissing anyone that calls for immigration restrictions as a right-wing hick, a backwoods nativist, or some other synonymous pejorative. In a recent New York Times column, journalist Ross Douthat, a center-left supposed conservative, responded to some of his left-wing critics who have done exactly this. His column calls on the left to acknowledge the veracity of immigration restrictionist arguments, including arguments about the downsides of diversity. In addition, he makes some very telling observations about the motivations of pro-immigration politicians and pundits on both the right and the left. It was surreal to read this column on the pages of the New York Times when it felt like it could be something that could be easily published at VDare or American Renaissance. In today's video, we're going to analyze this column and talk about how the immigration argument is shifting and just how important that is. But first, let's say hello to our friends over at Trade Genius Academy. We all know that the cryptocurrency market can be incredibly volatile. That's why it helps to have training and experienced experts on your side. Thousands of people have made incredible returns with cryptocurrency, and you can too. My friends over at TradeGeniusAcademy.com are offering to teach you how to get started trading cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin, Litecoin, and other altcoin options. Right now is the perfect time to pick up the Cryptocurrency Complete course, which will teach you what you need to know about trading cryptocurrency. It includes the beginner and advanced courses, and if you use my last name as a promo code, you get the entire package for 50% off. It's a great deal and a great way to make you a better cryptocurrency investor and trader. TradeGeniusAcademy.com right now. Check it out. And again, use my last name as the code for 50% off your package. This is a great way to learn how to trade cryptocurrency, how to buy cryptocurrency, and everything else involved with being a successful trader of cryptocurrency. Check it out. All right, so as previously mentioned, Ross Douthat's column, titled The Necessary Immigration Debate, came out in the February 3rd edition of the New York Times. The column begins as a response to some of his left-wing critics, who had decried his previous column, encouraging Democrats to make a deal with Trump as a, quote, endorsement of normalizing racism and bigotry. It is a mistake for the left, the author argues, to react emotionally and dismiss all immigration restrictionist viewpoints as being rooted in simple racism or bigotry. As he says in the column, quote, But another kind of response is worth disputing. Instead of making a moral judgment, it purports to make an empirical one, implying that the serious case for immigration restriction is all but non-existent, and that negotiating with restrictionists is therefore like negotiating with flat earthers, end quote. For many on the left, when the question of immigration is brought up, the response is immediate and visceral. America is a nation for everyone. Immigrants are the real Americans. Only racists oppose immigration, etc. But the columnist here argues that this response is a mistake, and that immigration restrictionist arguments deserve to be listened to. This is an important pivot. For many proponents of the current immigration paradigm, anything other than wonderful cultural enrichment and the GDP benefits of immigration is an ideological no-go zone. Bring up inconvenient facts about diversity and social trust, demographic voting patterns, crime statistics, or race and IQ, for example, and many supporters of immigration will immediately pivot back to, yeah, but muh GDP, muh economics, muh food. Pardon the pun, but do that doesn't do that in this column. He acknowledges the reality of two very important anti-immigration arguments. The first is the effect that diversity has on social cohesion. According to Duthat, quote, as mass immigration increases diversity, it reduces social cohesion and civic trust. This is not universal law, as the economics writer Noah Smith has pointed out. There are counterexamples and ways to resist the trend. However, it is a finding that strongly comports with the real-world experience of Europe and America. Whereas cultural diversity has increased, so has social distrust, elite populist conflict, and the racial, religious, and generational polarization of political parties, end quote. We need to look no further than European and American politics to see that this is absolutely true. It is no coincidence that European governments have shifted further right in the years immediately following the European migrant crisis. Europeans are becoming more politically right-wing, more politically nationalist, and these parties are the only ones offering solutions to fix their nations that are changing for the worse as a result of mass migration. In America, we can look at the rabid, angry social justice and anti-white left. As racial diversity has increased, so has the anti-white hatred and animosity in American politics and on American college campuses, which is something Duthat brings up later. People are becoming polarized, and this is undeniable. The column continues, quote, moreover, the trust problem is not a simple matter of racist natives mistrusting foreigners, since social trust is often weakest among minorities, which is one reason why the most diverse generation in American history, the millennials, is also the least trusting. So you can see the political effects of distrust even if you ignore the Trump Republicans entirely. It's one reason why campus politics are so toxic, and why Democrats struggle to keep their diverse coalition politically engaged, and why the Bernie-Hillary contest
The problem is there's a whole swath of researchers that say this is designed to militarize whitey. And so this is going to be the fascist resurgence. If you get into some of the Vatican researchers, they say this is all by design, that they've designed it to basically unwussify whites from being kumbaya, let's all have a good time, to push whites back into being hardcore, let's go out and lynch Tyrone types, okay? Then the Jewish researchers say, no, this is a genocidal plot to basically extinguish whites basically from any power sectors across Europe, Canada, Australia, or America, to basically dethrone whitey and make it to the point where whitey can never assume a power position on the world stage ever again. And this is the Jewish plot, and this is what we're witnessing. It's interesting to watch both sides argue this one out, and I'm somebody that looks at both of these, and I'm somewhere in the strange middle of this whole thing, and I realize that this has to do with Christ and this Talmudic hatred for the person of Christ and Christianity being this thing where the European has latched on to. But it's also this thing where there's been this wing of the Jewish sector that's always hated the German and the Brit and the Scandinavian and so forth and so on. And they, there's a lot of battles going on here under the surface, and it's not just one. And a lot of people want to simplify it, but It's just like you get back into Rome and Jerusalem by Moses Hess, which I was talking about last week. There's a lot of things boiling under the surface here. And trying to recruit other elements of the planet into each other's camps. And, you know, the Jesuits and the Jewish mafia using Africans or using Hispanics or whatever, or Arabs. The secret relationship between the House of Saud and the Israelis, the Donma, the crypto Jews up there in Turkey with Kemal Ataturk, and how this plays into this whole thing. The Greater Israel Project, who's on board in the Islamic world and who's not. This thing with the Jesuits in North America and the assassinations and their relationships with other players, the black nobility, the Rothschilds being the papal bankers, all this bleed over between these sections, which they have skirmishes, but at the same time they make deals behind the scenes. It's a very hectic world, and it's fascinating to study it all. But then it pisses you off that the way they want to use us as lab rats. All the experimentation, the depopulation, seeing these players at the United Nations, the Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. You know, all of this stuff. Fascinating stuff. We're coming up on break here. Let's get into Bitcoin and the war on the cryptocurrencies. It seems to be on the surface happening. Ken, get clip 7 ready. This is Black Child, kind of a one of these kind of black Israelite types, but he's really good at keeping up on some things. Let's roll clip 7. This is George Soros.
For people in the rulers, Bitcoin is not a currency.
The anonymity of it is likely to facilitate money laundering, dark money moving around, and things that no one is happy about. Mm-hmm. If we're looking for financial stability.
Currencies, things like Bitcoin, and as their name implies, they're partly to hide money, many often used in the activities you've just described, from people like you, from governments. Isn't that an area where maybe you should try to clamp down too?
Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, we should be looking at these very seriously, precisely because of the way they can be used, particularly by criminals. And so,
Facebook and Google effectively control over half of all internet advertising revenue. To maintain their dominance, they must should subject them to more stringent regulations aimed at preserving competition, innovation.
Facebook is banning all advertisements promoting cryptocurrency products and services, including Bitcoin. The company said it will not display commercial posts for products associated with misleading or deceptive promotional practices, specifically mentioning cryptocurrencies and initial coin offerings, or ICO.
So Lloyds Bank have banned Bitcoin purchases on its credit cards. My immediate thought was, who is a bank to tell me how I can spend my money? But then I read further and it said it will not apply to debit cards. It's only to the bank's 8 million credit card customers.
As the Bitcoin bubble burst, 57% drop from £14,000 in December to $6,000 last night. That's a heck of a drop, isn't it?
All right, stop it there. So, you know, there's this kind of war. Well, at least a head fake. I don't know if it's a head fake or whether it's real. This war on Bitcoin and some of the other cryptos. Susan Lindauer had on the guy, he's a PhD from out there in California, this guy from CloudCoin. Very interesting interview over there on Truth Frequency. Is this a head fake? Are the powers that be, like many people speculate, the ones behind Bitcoin with the artificial intelligence and so forth and so on? Are they playing us on a reverse psyop by demonizing Bitcoin, by corralling all of us that do not like Christine Lagarde and George Soros, all the people I was just playing who are poo-pooing Bitcoin and saying it's not a currency and dark money involved? And you look, I've looked at a lot of sides of this, and there's people that can make money. You can, if you want to be involved in really studying this and, you know, get involved with it, you can make a lot of money quick doing this. But at the same time, what's the end product? What's the final, thing that comes out of the oven here? The blockchain system. A lot of people in the eschatological world are worried about this digital move towards everything going electronic in the cyber world because of, you know, the prophetic nature of nobody being able to buy and sell unless they're part of the system. I'm one of these people that would rather have some sort of currency we can float around that both of us can see. You know, and I know that the one we have now is a fiat paper worthless system, but at the same time, I don't want to go fully electronic. I don't want to go fully digital because I know that eventually, once it goes fully that way, it's just like Dr. Catherine Albrecht, cash, use it or lose it. I'm for something that I can pass to you. Even I know that Benjamin, that $100 bill, I know is bogus. I would rather use this modicum than some electronic one. Okay. I want to go backwards with money, not forwards into this Matrix, Terminator, weird world. Because look, and I'm not saying that you can't make a buck to the listener on your way, you know, on our way to wherever we're going. Make your buck. Get into it, and whatever. But always realize that we're moving into that beast system. And this blockchain, this whole thing, this weird stuff we're going into, I have a spiritual repulsion to it. I would rather give you a dollar than swipe something and pay for my hamburger or whatever I'm going to buy. Okay, when I go to the vitamin store and I want to buy some fish oil or I want to get some cinnamon or some whatever, a turmeric, I don't want to have to pay electronically. I do that as a minimum now. I don't want to move into this realm. And so this is, where we all have to kind of, keep our sea legs about ourselves and say, look, if you want to get into it and get a quick, pop of month, of wealth, do it. I'm not telling you not to, but what I'm saying is realize that I want to keep some sort of a cash system, even though I know it's a Federal Reserve note. I would rather pass that around than swipe my hand or, do some kind of crazy transaction with an electronic digital currency. At least you can remain, have some anonymity. All right, we'll see you on the other side. Either way, gave me back my memory for better days. And now
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543.
Let's take Tommy in Tennessee on line 9. Come on up, Tommy.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, so many things you're touching on there. I'm looking at the, well, just a few things, if I could touch on a few things come to my mind. About the money.
Yeah.
Very strange. We're in a fiction world. There is no money. There's only credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anybody could have money if they want money. But you have to sink down into the lower energies to have something that there is nothing of in order to pay for something that never was. It's all fiction. And so,
Wait a minute. Is a hamburger, does it not exist?
I'm not following you.
Well, I'm just saying, if I got $3 and the guy at the bar across the street has got a big fat bacon cheeseburger for me, the belief that that money's worth something, that it gets me a bacon cheeseburger, which will fill my belly for, you know, a few hours.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. I'm talking, I guess, a spiritual. It's spiritual. Spiritual meaning that you can't see it. We're being fooled, in other words. I'm trying to, you know, set a preface a little bit for coming to something. Mm-hmm. I don't lose track of my train of thought here. But anyway, a lot of controversy. The fiction entity that's a negative alien agenda going on from way back invaded and occupied the planet. The leaders of our world are, and the greed is all negative, running the planet, and it needs to be house cleaning. And so this is being worked on in the background, and this is why we're having so much of this crazy stuff come up and out of humanity that's being exposed. It must be, and the system must go down, and there isn't going to be a vacuum. There is a plan in place. It's all good. But people have to, we all have to know the truth about all the lies that we've been living so we don't allow it to happen again. And go on a new money substance where, in essence, that there's so much money, in other words, to live in abundance that I look at it like this. How would it be if you actually had access to the $100 million, say, for example, that your birth certificate was worth? Ask the question of, okay, I have everything that I ever wanted in my life. Okay, I got it, I done it, been there, got the T-shirt, everything. My life is wonderful. Plenty of money. Okay, now the question is, what are you going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do? And so that's where we have to be in our mind, because it's all there. These bad boys are playing around with trillions upon quadrillions of fake money, doing what they do, and making up all kinds of excuses to keep it from us for living in this way and manner, because the fiction entity cannot deal with real people. So it has to continue to lie and cheat and steal, rape and rob and loot and pillage the state of our ships, the state of our mind.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Engaging those around you and those in your community down there in Tennessee, and I'm up here in Missouri. Unfortunately, I have a rather pessimistic viewpoint of their capabilities to even be on the level of this, where we're at right now with the conversation. And as far as knowing the corporate fictions, the 14th Amendment, all the weird things that the RBN audience knows about, and you know, the straw man and everything else, I pray and I want everybody to come into some sort of basic vocabulary of what we are all looking for. But unfortunately, I keep getting, when I mix with the public, I keep getting shot down. How do you feel?
You know, when you mention mind control to someone, or you hear people talking about mind control, they go, yeah, there's mind control. Yeah, that's bad stuff. But you will never hear anyone ever admit that it has anything to do with them.
Right, right.
Okay? Yeah. It's always someone else.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I get it.
So I think you said it a little while ago or something that you're not going to go down to the voting booth and vote for a better world, because it's obvious these boys are on a mission, and it's got nothing to do with the people, except it has everything to do with the people, because they have the emotional charge capacity to generate the charge so that you reach in your pocket and tell a lie by paying for something there's nothing of. So it's a strange thing. There is a remedy, however, it's just tough.
Well, here, let me run this by you. We all, like those of us that have been listening to a lot of the hosts and on various networks, and we get that there's this whole, you know, bamboozling that has happened to us with you know, the government and the money system and all these things. But at the same time, you've got to keep your foot dipped into this pond, because you got to, you know, feed the family. You got to pay the bills to just keep, you know, yourself right, treading water. And so this is the thing. You almost have to sully yourself with the system that you know is a fraud.
Right.
It's like you have to have your foot in the puddle, both puddles, the purity puddle and the one that keeps you fed and clothed and the heat on and the rest of it.
Yeah. Isn't it fun? It's called duality. And you're not going to get out of the matrix. We're all in it. It's a grand experiment to see if we can pass the test to finally evolve out of the war with ourselves. I consider that, from what I know, that there's nothing outside of us that is, if we're all one, this idea of everything being connected and holographic, the nature of the universe, everything's connected. If we're all one, then I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. So when I can accept the fact that I'm the enemy, as it does say, and I've been acting like it because everybody's answering to the enemy of the state, which is the name on your driver's license, okay, your whole life, our whole lives. We're acting like it, we're behaving like it, so we are the enemy. Nobody will admit it. And so they're fighting with everyone, and you cannot win with a fishing entity that does not exist by arguing with it. So you got a new, when you catch someone in a lie, it's incumbent upon us to help them out of the situation they have now found themselves in, otherwise you're going to war. So the sovereign finds a way, and he's creative to bring in harmony. And so I don't argue with all this BS news that's going on out here. Like you said, I like to keep tabs on the realm, but it's coming up and out. It's going to go away. The Armageddon timeline is over. It's done. It's not going to happen. Either there's a God or there's not. And I don't want to reincarnate anymore. So they're going to play their thing out. They're all dirty. There's a few people in there that are good guys. They're wearing two hats, playing a few roles to keep themselves alive. They have to lie. But I'll tell you one thing I heard somewhere, that Trump, for example, came from a petri dish with Mussolini and Hitler and was impregnated into a Dutch princess, and he's like born in Africa or something. Yeah. And whatever, I'm not in judgment of anyone. I value peace of mind the most, and they're gonna do. But there is a lot more going on off the planet, underneath the planet, secret space program, and the war in space has to be solved in order for the environment on the ground to be safe for truth-telling, so we can have transparency and abundance, and we get rid of the cockroaches. And there's a good faction of the military, and there are people that have been around that know, but there's too many guns to people's heads, and so it's a very carefully managed affair, so people can stay alive, because it's supposed to be a graceful evolution of consciousness, because these bad boys running the planet don't have emotions, and that's why they can slaughter. So they don't care. It's just nothing personal. It's just business of contracting with real people. They have to scare in order to get them to do something we'd never do in a million years. So lose the fear, everybody, and get your rest at night, because the devil gets his rest at night, so you better get yours, so to speak.
Hey, let me ask you this. The blessing of resilience that God gives to us in this time of mass poisoning and mass electronic assault, mass nanotech assault, it's like I feel this thing where everybody, you know, a lot of people research this multi-pronged attack on all of us. But I also feel that the point is where God is like strengthening members of his family to where it's just like, you know what? They can throw the kitchen sink at you, and I'm not going to let it hurt you. Do you feel that as well spiritually and the rest of it?
Absolutely. You know, fear, we're all working with it every day. I'm not ascended or anything like that. Don't know everything, never will. Constantly, trying to make the improvements and be as authentic as possible.
I think it's like, you know, you got to humble yourself. The more you humble yourself, the more powerful you are anyway. And that's just a natural law. But go ahead.
Right. And if we want to evolve, we have to be accountable, responsible, and be able to say what we mean what we say, yeah. And tell our truth authentic without going to war and with respect. And we have some things to learn. So the mass public population, masses, there's a lot of weak people, but the masses need some help. And all the radio shows, all the great conversations, it's making a little dent and headway, and but the planet is being held back from an ascension point, and it's not a savior thing. We're being helped and managed by the good galactics, okay? They're not going to save anybody. They're helping our good men on the ground to have alliances to work within, and people still stay alive. Everybody on the planet counts, and these ones running the planet had to keep the division. So, you know, two guys couldn't get together and have a meeting of the minds and make up their mind and do something about anything because they didn't have enough money to put gas in their car to go get a postage stamp to mail a letter. You know, so they keep us hungry and starving, and people without homes don't complain to their government. So that's their tactic. But I heard that the financial economic system and religion actually was brought here from other planets because it worked so well to control the people. You know, people like Einstein, Newton, and all these really brains, they didn't just get this knowledge in one lifetime. This was, special people that was helping humanity evolve over a long time. And I heard this other guy, Gerard Clark, talking about how Enlil of the Anunnaki, the bad brother, you know, they had, like he said, 1,200 IQs, and he invented the Zodiac. So these are really, really smart, but they're very negative. They don't have emotions, and they breathed that out and started to weld metal to their biology and had the inability to manufacture their own bliss so that they could ascend when that critical time arrived. So if they couldn't ascend, they didn't want us to either. They just didn't give a you-know-what.
So you're talking about Enlil and Enki of the Anunnaki legends, yeah. I've read into that. It's yeah. I was watching a lot of this megalithomania. A lot of these researchers into all the megalithic architecture in the last couple of days, and it's fascinating these ancient cultures that were here. And there's so much speculation about whether they were the fallen angels, the Nephilim, you know, the Anunnaki, all this. It's almost puts your mind into overload.
Yeah, there's some folks out here I've heard that have different takes and interpretations, but it doesn't matter. We're not going to know the truth about every single little thing we're talking about now. Yeah. But at some point, I think when we do evolve, because right now we're only operating on a few cylinders of DNA, maybe two strands. We're supposed to have 12 or 24, but there's not 90% junk DNA. We've been genetically manipulated from way back and sliced and diced and made perfect slaves. But it was the end of a cycle, and it wasn't forever. Man's consciousness has fallen, and this was the time that we were to have the chance to use our free will in the garden, so to speak, so that when the time came for us to evolve in an ascension point with, to say, 3D to 5D, that we were ready and that we could behave like, all that in a bag of chips and then some, and it would be... It would be wonderful, but we're naughty folks right now, even participating in the crimes against humanity by paying your bills. And so they have us sort of, everybody is complicit, and so we have to learn to do what we can, like you were saying, and reduce our footprint and stop our participation in something that is false, because we can't tell the truth if we behave like this, and it's just totally hypocrisy what's going on. We all should just stop our lives, but we can't. We need to eat and pay for the things we need to pay. Yeah. But at least for now, limit our participation. But people see they want to accumulate things. They want more money. And
more gadgets and things, and yeah.
And when you have abundance, you have to consider the fact that abundance, people not thinking about this, if there is abundance, and they do a debt forgiveness, zero out your social security number, do a debt forgiveness, recalibrate the financial system, reindex all the goods on the shelves, down 90%, you live a whole lot easier. You have a lot more time on your hands.
How many people do you think, if they offered that, would relinquish their future payment of Social Security and the rest of it? What do you think?
Well, I would like to increase that probably Social Security kind of thing would is false.
But I'm just saying, how many people, if you said, okay, let's do a jubilee, how many people would say, okay, I'll give up my future payments that I've paid into this crazy system, and nobody owes me anything? How many you think would go for it?
Not sure I follow you, but
I'm approaching 50. If you and others came and offered me, Joe Blow, the offer to say, let's retool, let's recalibrate the entire financial system, but the government doesn't owe you any kind of Social Security payment in the future, how many of our fellow creatures here in the United States would take that and say, let's do it?
Well, probably not a lot if they weren't explained a little bit more to it, because that would increase about four times. So, you wouldn't have the pressure. If you remove the impediment and arrest all these bad mofos, then you can tell the truth without being shot. Because now you can't, because the truth has been criminalized, and you can't speak your mind because the say-so of your will is used against you in or out of court. Between your friends, family, and loved ones, and your associates and everybody else, where you can sue and be sued. So you must be able to tell the truth, and you can't do it right now. So That goes along with the new financial system where everything's fair and square. And when you have abundance, you don't need stacks of cash in a bank vault for some uncertain future event that's already paid for. You see, you never be foreclosed upon, threatened again, intimidated, seized upon, captured, detained, or repossessed. Never. And that's too good to be true, and the reason people don't have too good to be true is they don't believe it. They like to buying the negativity, and that's a choice. So, you know, I wasn't always like this, but I was very insecure and afraid, didn't understand anything. But when I started reading years back and all kinds of stuff, and mind control and all kinds of stuff, I saw that it's not just one answer, it's not just one thing. You have to be able to consume all perspectives of the one, the stuff you don't like, and that's how you figure out what's going on so you can get your rest at night, because this place is just a big ball of confusion to keep everybody off balance so they can catch people off guard doing dumb shit all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't have a life. So you don't have a life. The word sovereign means... the word solver is a Latin or something for means above, and reign means control. You mean above control. So we have to learn to control ourselves and mean what we say and make every move count and be impeccable as possible so we can meet the new high frequency ray wave that is waiting for our thinking to manifest that rather than all the negative. Like if the Anunnaki had 1,200 IQs, they could see in their 4D beams, they could see in a time of no time, and wrote all the prophecies so that they would work out, because they directed and guided the course of our history over time, and that's why they all turned out, because they made the people believe it, and their own thinking manifested what happened. So we our DNA can change the course of history, because the DNA is not set in stone. There's a dynamic part of it where our thinking, you know, when you think a thought, you create a molecule. So we've got to get out of being stuck in all their negative news feeds, and you know, each one counts for one, and one alone. Together we make the difference. And so that's what I'm doing, my part. It's just holding still, keeping my peace of mind. And imagination is more important than knowledge, Einstein said. And that's the only thing that ascends, except our long lost and forgotten memory of who and what we really truly are. And this is only just a piece of it. We must forgive ourselves, because we did have help, even though we have to be accountable and responsible for our part. So, you know, I'm not here alone to we're all got to, you know, get past ourselves and come together outside of the commerce that's being done, where everybody's got to use everybody else in this networking scheme to make a buck and to be polite to one another, so you can never tell the damn truth, and so you never get to know anybody except they'll tell you what you want to hear. That's it. So, you know,
well,
it's
Tommy, I appreciate you calling in and giving us your two cents. I think it was very... you know, it was something different for the show, and so I appreciate it, man. And I think you gave us a lot to think about and process. And so that's the end of the show, everybody. And see you next week, maybe, if I'm still here. And appreciate it. Thank you, Ken, for running the show. Incendiary Radio on RBN. See you.
His wealth has increased by $33 billion just this year, and he's up over $50 billion over the past